gaining things. Godliness is not pride or envy or strife or railing. But true doctrine leads to godly behavior. And that's godliness, as we've seen. And tonight we see that godliness with contentment is great gain. So starting in verse 3 again, 1 Timothy 6, just to review from last week and then moving on. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, not even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So godliness with contentment, that's our title. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us. And Lord, that we would understand how important it is that we would learn to live lives of contentment, knowing that you are sovereign. And that you will always give us exactly what is best for us. So, Lord, have your will through your word in our lives tonight. May you be glorified and guide us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So just to review quickly, last week we saw that we are to avoid those who, verse 3, teach otherwise. Those who teach the opposite of what is given in this passage. Because doctrine should lead, as we saw in verse 3, to godliness. And then we saw the opposing things of godliness, pride there in verse 4, questions, envy, strife, railings, which is gossip, evil surmisings, which is second-guessing God's word. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And so we're given in this passage is two alternatives to contentment. And one of them is believing wrong. Notice pursuing things that are not godly. More people are prone to wander from the truth when they're not living godly, as we see. More people are prone to look at the sins of others when they're not living godly. But godliness should always come from doctrine. As we saw last week, doctrine and godliness being the two key words in this book of 1 Timothy. But questions, envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, the opposite of godliness. And so one alternative is to believe wrong. To believe, as we saw here, that these things are okay. To have strife, getting along with others, to have railings, which is evil speaking and gossip, to have evil surmisings, which is second guessing the word of God. And that is a ungodly or non-biblical alternative to contentment. And then the second non-biblical, ungodly alternative is verse 5, seeking the wrong things. So it's either believing the wrong things or seeking the wrong things. Notice, supposing that gain is godliness. In other words, pursuing earthly gain, pursuing earthly things, covetousness. Godliness, therefore, as we can see, will be evident in our behavior because we won't be discontented and we won't be pursuing things of the world. Next week, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 where God, again, warns the rich. Look at it. They that will be rich, there in verse 9, fall into temptation and a snare. The rich are more likely to be led away from godliness because of their pursuance of things and money. And covetousness, we're told, if you go to Colossians 3:5, is idolatry. You can't be serving God, you can't be godly if you're idolatrous, can you? Those are definitely opposites. So notice Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Colossians says, don't live for this world. Live for the future. Live for Jesus. You know, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's contentment, isn't it? So we're told, verse 5, to withdraw ourselves from those in verse 3 who are spreading false doctrine, those who are teaching the wrong things, teaching us that we either need to believe wrong or we need to pursue the wrong things. So what is the answer? Verse 6, godliness with contentment. That's great gain. So godliness obviously means godly behavior. It's in this book 9 times. Of the 15 times it's in the entire Bible, it's in this book 9 of those 15. So it's definitely one of the themes of the book. And so godliness, what does it mean? It means a Christian who is exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, living a godly life, treating people with love and forgiveness, believing in the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, didn't he? Godliness is something that can be seen. Contentment is something that can be seen. And so what we're finding here is the proper alternative is to live right. The right way to live is to live right. Amen. Look at 2 Peter 3:11. To not believe wrong and to not pursue wrong and things, but to be content as we live a godly life. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, in other words, everything we can see and touch, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So the pursuit of happiness does not make one happy. The Bible says what makes one happy is the pursuance of God and a godly life. Proverbs 29:18 says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. Obedience leads to happiness. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So godliness with contentment is great gain. But there are those who suppose that gain is godliness. They've got the two backwards, don't they? God says godliness is gain, but there's many who think that gain is godliness. And you can't swap them. So he reminds us, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world and certainly can carry nothing out. How true. When we're born with nothing. No clothing, no possessions, nothing. And God says when we leave the earth, we leave without any possessions. We leave them all behind. Therefore, verse 8, having food and raiment, if you got something to eat and you got clothes on your back, be content. Amen? Therewith, let us be therewith content. Look at Philippians 4:11. Paul said he learned this great truth through his own experience as a missionary. Notice he says, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. So here Paul is saying, I've actually learned this myself. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Remember, Paul looks like came from a pretty well-to-do background. He knew multiple languages. He was high up in the Jewish hierarchy. And so he had to learn to be content when he was in prison. He had to learn to be content when he had nothing to eat, when he was being beaten or whipped or whatever. He had to learn it. practically and for real. He says in the next verse, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then the verse that most Christians know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. People love to run straight to that verse and quote it and say, yep, that's me. But if we're going to take it in context, what's the context? Verse 11, I've learned to be content. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if we're living a content Christian life, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now we can say, I can do all things. But as we're told, what's the opposite? Discontentment, complaining, moaning, envy, covetousness. Proverbs 19:3 is a good example. Turn there if you would. These are examples of things that are not contentment. Proverbs 19:3. The Bible says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. That's discontentment. When people fret against God, when they say, God, this isn't fair, God, this isn't right, they're fretting about their circumstances, that's not contentment. In Numbers 11, another example. Turn there if you would. This is Israel in the desert. Numbers 11:1. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. They were not content, were they? They complained. They complained about their circumstances. Complaining is not contentment. Fretting against the Lord is not contentment. And of course, murmuring is not contentment. So, beautiful passage, beautiful truth, that there are alternatives to godliness with contentment. One of them is believing wrong, and we see these wrong belief systems that are put out, and we're going to hear more about it in 2 Timothy. Another one is seeking the wrong things, seeking worldly things, seeking money, seeking stuff, instead of what this passage is all about, contentment. And God says that's an amazing combination, godliness with contentment. To live a godly life and be content with whatever God provides, he says that is great gain. Great gain. But we struggle with that because our old man wants things and wants money and wants more. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this truth. And may we learn, as Paul said, in whatsoever state we are, therewith to be content. To learn that you make no mistakes, that what you allow is what you allow and you have a purpose in it. What you provide or don't provide is what's best for us. And may we learn this as Paul did, and may we live it. May we be Christians who are godly and are content. Thank you for speaking to us.